Hello and welcome to the Covert Nerd Podcast. Thank you for listening. I appreciate each and every listener. It means a lot to me that you take the time out of your day to hear what I have to say. So without further ado, let's dive right into the episode and nerd it up. Here again with Tim at Rainbow Comics to talk about Star Wars, the Expanded Universe. If you don't know already, Tim has been on the show before. I'll put a link in the show notes. Last time we talked about Star Wars prequels. Time before that, we talked about Transformers. Yeah, there we go. And so we're here going to talk about Star Wars Expanded Universe and everything good, bad, and otherwise about it. So thanks for coming back, Tim. It's always fun to nerd out and talk Star Wars, Transformers, or whatever.
Oh, man, I love it. I don't want to pigeonhole myself as like the Star Wars guy, but if I have to, like, I'll take it.
That's a good corner to be pigeonholed.
Yeah, no, it's totally fine.
Hey, just update for you, the listener. If you didn't know, I tweeted out that Tim has a gift for Hayden Christensen if he comes into the store, but I have yet to hear from him. So.
Oh, okay. Yeah, keep me updated. I will literally give him any of my statues. They're not necessarily Star Wars related. I'll just give the man something.
Exactly.
It's fine. Come see me, dude.
It's kind of funny in Clone Wars or Star Wars Clone Wars, when I was doing some research on it, I saw that they didn't want him to come back and do the voice. And I said, oh, man. It's like, but Tim will compensate you.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, no. Hayden, I got you, buddy.
Yeah.
The guys who did it in Clone Wars, where they succeeded, where George Lucas ultimately failed going off of what we talked about last time, they made Anakin a sympathetic character, and they really played into the darkness. And yeah. I think it would be doing a disservice to the voice actor, who I don't know offhand. I don't know his name. I'm sorry. It'd be doing a disservice to not allow him to finish off that arc.
Yeah.
And I think he's kind of earned it. Like, James Arnold Taylor is Obi-Wan as far as Clone Wars is concerned. And I think if you were to, you know, replace him with Ewan McGregor or the guy who did Obi-Wan's voice for a little bit in Rebels, I really feel like that, again, would be doing a disservice to the legacy that was pioneered by those actors. Like Tom Kane, yes.
He does the narrator on...
He's Yoda.
Oh, okay.
Tom Kane is Yoda, I believe. Like, oh, man.
He's done so much, though.
I could be wrong. If I'm wrong, I apologize. But I'm pretty sure Tom Kane is Yoda in the Clone Wars. In Rebels, they brought back Frank Oz. But again... Bringing Frank Oz for these new Clone Wars would be doing a disservice to what was done previously. So,
sure.
Yeah, as far as this is concerned, Hayden, I'm sorry, buddy. It just isn't going to work this time. But I actually would really love to see Hayden Christensen come back to the role of Anakin, whether or not we see a glimpse of that in Episode 9, which is a heavy rumor. I would like to see him exercise his acting chops under a director who's not necessarily married to the words and married to the material. I think he'd do a really, really good job.
I agree. Well, when we talk about expanded universe, I guess what, especially when it relates to Star Wars, what define that for the listener? What does that mean?
Okay, so for people who don't know, the expanded universe in Star Wars has generally been any kind of Star Wars related anything that's not part of the movies. So going back not so long ago, but like 15, 20 years, if you read a book, if you played a video game, if you read a comic book, if you read all of this stuff, because we didn't have, like, all we had was from A New Hope to Return of the Jedi, and that was it. So anything that existed outside of those movies, 20 years?
Yeah, it's been, well, Timothy Zahn books is kind of what fired it off back in the late 80s.
Well, it wasn't even Timothy Zahn's, but his was the one that really lit a fire.
Oh, well, I guess you had the comics, like the Marvel comics back.
No,
kind
still
of explored.
even then, was it Heir to the Jedi? Was the first one? I'm not sure.
The Timothy Zahn book, you mean?
No, there was one other. I'm going to get roasted for this. There was one other book that came out before... That came out before Zahn's first. There was one other one that came out, and I cannot think of it. But that was what kind of, when that came out, people were like, oh, we can do more Star Wars. So the expanded universe is essentially more Star Wars. And we didn't have that for a long
time. But it wasn't on the big screen. It wasn't on TV.
The big screen. It was a way to continue the story of the characters that we knew and loved. And I would even argue that it started with the Marvel comic. And the Marvel comic started off retelling of Star Wars for the first couple of issues, and then it kind of did its own thing. Yeah. But, you know, the left hand doesn't know what the right hand's doing, and there was an arc where Luke met his father. There was a whole bunch of other stuff. And it was just, when you have to put these stories out on a month-to-month basis, there's... And who knew that we were going to get more than just Star Wars, what's sure. now A New Hope? We didn't know that there was going to be...
Yeah, after Return of the Jedi, we thought, oh, we're done.
Sure, and then as like Empire Strikes Back came out, they adapted that into the comics, and then Return of the Jedi. And then with that, after Return of the Jedi, there was a whole slew of Marvel comics going up to 80, 90 issues. I could be wrong. That feels right.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, guys. I don't know this off the top of my head. I apologize. But that was kind of the first instance. And nobody read them. Like, the only people who read them were the people who were going to read them. Like,
sure. That's probably why Marvel let the IP go, you know, because Dark Horse bought it.
Yeah, then. Dark Horse. Oh, let's talk about
Dark Horse. Dark Empire.
Dark Horse Comics is primarily to this day known for doing things like, up until recently... they had Star Wars for a long time. They still have Hellboy, one day we'll talk about Hellboy.
Okay.
They had Hellboy. They've got, right now, currently, they have the Alien and Predator franchises, which could change after the Disney merger.
Yes.
They used to have Buffy, but, you know, they were kind of known for things like that. They've got Usagi Yojimbo.
Well, they lost that. That went to Boom.
No.
Or
IDW.
IDW.
Sorry. Yeah. Sorry. They did have that for Dark Horse. Excuse me. But no, so they, man, poor Dark Horse.
I know.
Horse,
I just did an episode on this, but I think they'll be fine.
Oh, did you?
Yeah.
Nice.
Black Hammer, I think they'll be fine.
Black Hammer's my favorite.
Yeah.
Anyway.
So yeah,
anyway, I think
it was like, was it 89 or 90 that Dark Empire came out? That was the big one I remember.
Something like that. Dark Empire, Crimson Empire was really, really good. Crimson Empire was about one of the Emperor's Royal Guards who kind of... was awoken to the evil of the Empire and then tried to strike out on his own. That was really, really good. So what Dark Horse ended up doing was they took concepts that were in the novels, and it sounds so dumb. They took concepts that were in the novels and put it in a visual format.
Yeah.
So like the X-Wing books that were written by, was that... Kevin J. Anderson.
Kevin J. Anderson did a lot.
Look how well researched I've done.
You know, you're right. Kevin J. Anderson did a lot of Star Wars stuff in the 90s.
I can't remember if that was him or not, but there was a series of X-Wing novels, and I've recently read the Dark Horse adaptation of those, and they have Wedge Antilles looking like Han Solo. Like, they've drawn him like a blonde Han Solo. And it's really... aggravating to be a fan of Star Wars now and look at that. But if you put yourself in the mindset of when these comics were coming out, you have somebody dressed like Han Solo, and that clicks in your brain. Oh, I know what this person is supposed to be. I understand visually, based on Star Wars, what this is trying to represent. So Expanded Universe did really take off with the Thrawn trilogy written by Zahn.
Yep.
It hurts to say it. and that just kind of led to its own continuity. So let's go ahead and just get this out of the way. Disney buys Lucasfilm from George Lucas for obscene amounts of money.
Yeah, $4.6 billion, I think it was.
My brain can't even fathom what that kind of money even looks like. It's just ridiculous. So when Disney bought Lucas... Star Wars, let's just say Star Wars. When they bought Star Wars, they made a real controversial decision. I can't speak, you guys. They made a bad choice. they decided that it would be smarter for them in the long haul to jettison continuity. What that means is what you've seen on screen is all that counts.
Does that include the Christmas special?
No. No, it doesn't. And it doesn't include the Genndy Tartakovsky Clone Wars series, but it does include episodes 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, and 6. and then the 3D Clone Wars show that was on Cartoon Network and Netflix. So now those are the only things that count, technically. They've taken everything else that existed, and we're talking, you know, going back to the late 80s, early 90s.
Yeah.
Every ancillary piece of media, every video game, every novel, every comic, everything that fans held near and dear was, it still exists. It's still in publication. It just is no longer part of the main narrative.
Yeah.
So they shuffled all that over to what they call Legacy.
Yes.
Is it Legacy or Legends?
Legends.
Excuse me.
I guess Legends.
Legacy. I get confused because my favorite, we're going to get to you, Legacy. We're coming. See, you're in my sights. Star Wars Legends. So basically that just means you can go and read Shadows of the Empire. You could go read The Courtship of Princess Leia. You could read Darksaber. And you can enjoy those books, but they don't carry any weight as far as the narrative goes. Mm-hmm. That being said, new books and new comics have all been produced under the Disney banner, and those are all technically canon. Ultimately, what you read in a book, what you read in a comic, what you read in a resource manual, it's canon until it's superseded by something on screen. Which is why I really have a problem with The Last Jedi. But, you know, I don't think The Last Jedi is bad. I don't hate it. I just have issues with it because of expanded universe things, which is super fun. And I like that I can have those issues and be able to talk about them.
I think the good thing about some of these, the expanded universe, the concept was to take some of these more obscure characters that we saw on screen, like the Crimson, the guards, mm-hmm. the Crimson Guards, and say, well, what's their story?
Sure.
And I think the idea was to kind of explore some of that and do some fan service, I guess, mm-hmm. for lack of a better word, to some of those characters.
Sure, sure. And my knowledge of the expanded universe, I read a bunch of the novels a long time ago because I'm old. I remember when Shadows of the Empire came out, and it was
huge. Really good. Yeah.
It was a thing. They treated it like it was a movie.
Yeah.
So when you read Shadows of the Empire, technically they wanted it to feel like you're reading the novelization of the movie. When you play the video game, you're playing the video game adaptation of the movie. They released a soundtrack for a book.
Yeah. Well, the audiobook dramatization of it was really good. I guess back up a little bit for the listener,
sure.
Explain to them what Shadows of the Empire is real quick.
Shadows of the Empire is essentially what happened to our main heroes in between Empire Strikes Back and Return of the Jedi. So you've got Luke trying to learn how to be a Jedi. You have Leia trying to rescue Han. You have Han, who's frozen in carbonite. Because Han was frozen and couldn't exist in the story, they brought in a character named Dash Rendar to be the Han Solo surrogate. He was the protagonist for the video game. He was the protagonist for the Shadows of the Empire comics. I would argue, the main point of view character for the novel, but the novel did jump around kind of Game of Thrones style between different protagonists, but it's fair to, there's a pretty solid argument to say he's like the main character.
It's kind of like the Wedge Antilles. So mm-hmm. he was kind of a Wedge Antilles, like Han Solo.
They could have just used Wedge Antilles.
They could have. Yeah. Anyway,
I love what.
And then the villain on that one.
The villain is I feel we're going to see him real soon.
Oh, really? Okay. We'll get to that.
The villain in Shadows of the Empire was Prince Xizor, and I'm probably saying it incorrectly because in the book you never hear it spoken, and I've not listened to the audio play or anything, but he chastises everybody who says his name. Because everybody says it incorrectly. And I think it's hilarious.
That is funny.
But it was him and then his bodyguard. I don't remember her name, but it ends up being kind of a microcosm for like Dash Rendar falling in love with like the main bodyguard person for the evil crime lord or whatever.
Yeah, because Prince Xizor is a
Black Sun.
Black Sun. Mm-hmm. And he's trying to get the favor of the Emperor away from Vader, right?
I don't know that he wants the power Vader has, but he he understands that there's a power shift that's happening in the galaxy, and he wants to just step in and fill the void.
Yeah.
He is not a very nice person.
Yeah, because he's in charge of the biggest crime syndicate in the galaxy, I believe, or something like
that. It's one of them, because like you can't... I don't think he can hold a candle to the Hutts, but I don't remember.
Okay.
I don't remember, unfortunately. I need to go back and read these. The biggest thing I remember is that the video game is terrible and the comics were not that great. but it was super fun. But Shizor being like one of the leaders of the crime syndicate, and what we've seen from Solo and kind of how everything worked with Kira and, oh gosh, what was Paul Bettany's character's name? But his, you know, his whole deal there, I honestly believe that if we go through with like The Mandalorian and possibly other Disney Plus shows that maybe pick up on threads from Solo, which has been also another rumor, I think we've got to be like 2 degrees away from a Shizor type.
Shadow of the Empire type miniseries, maybe?
Maybe. It definitely wouldn't be set between Empire and Jedi, but I could definitely see bringing in a Dash Rendar type versus a Prince Shizor type. I don't want to go on record as saying they're definitely going to make Shadows of the Empire, but I think Disney knows a good idea when it has one, and I think... any way to milk the property is smart, and any way to reach out to the fans is smart.
Sure. Well, that's what happened is after Return of the Jedi, and up until the novel that escapes your memory and Timothy Zahn's books, you really just had the comics. Then it seems to me, in my opinion, the early 90s hit, Zahn's books came out, and then all of a sudden you have Kevin J. Anderson and all these other authors just produced a slew of expanded universe content that I think fans were excited to see. They wanted to find out, well, what happened after Return of the Jedi? And, you know, what happened in between Empire Strikes Back and Return of the Jedi? What was Boba Fett doing before he died in Return of the Jedi?
Alan Dean Foster's 1978 novel, Splinter of the Mind's Eye.
Was
the first one. Sorry, not to derail.
What year was that? About.
1978.
Really?
Yes.
I remember Splinter of the Mind's Eye. There was a comic book, wasn't there, on that?
I believe later there
maybe
was.
Maybe that was, wow, I didn't realize it was that far back, but I don't know. Do you remember much after that between 78 and, say, Zahn's books?
Mm-mm.
As far as a novel goes.
I'm looking at Wikipedia.
Okay.
Wikipedia, excuse me. So apparently Foster had also ghostwritten the novelization of A New Hope, which was credited to George Lucas.
Okay.
And also makes sense why that book is real good.
On expanded universe topics, you really like Shadow of the Empire. What
I
are
love
some other
Shadows of the Empire.
What is that number one you think expanded universe type story?
It arc? Definitely has to be up there.
Okay.
Look, I'll be honest with you. A lot of the expanded universe books are not great. A lot of them are real bad.
They are.
Real bad. The first expanded universe novel I ever picked up when I was in the Marine Corps was the second book in the Black Fleet Crisis.
Okay.
And I hated it. And I've actually gone on to find out that the Black Fleet Crisis is considered to be like not one of the best works of Star Wars expanded fiction. But stuff I loved, and I'm not alone in this, but like Tales from the Mos Eisley Cantina,
yeah.
Tales of the Bounty Hunters.
Tales of the Bounty Hunter, yeah, I read that.
The short stories were super great. That's why the new book that came out a couple years ago called From a Certain Point of View, it's 40 short stories about everybody in Star Wars. So it retells the original movie in 40 short stories by different authors. And even the audiobook is great because like John Hamm is Boba Fett and it's really cool. It's in the same spirit of those books. Some of them are really silly. Some of them are really intense. Some of them are whatever. And that one, again, there's canonical debates on what counts and what doesn't. But ultimately, fiction should be fun.
Yeah.
And it's really fun. But no, I love those Tales books. One of the EU books, the Expanded Universe books, that really sticks out in my brain is Darksaber.
Okay, yeah. So is that super weapon or whatever?
Yeah, it was basically like, I want to say the Hutts get a hold of the plans for the Death Star's laser.
Yes.
And instead of building a star, like a space station around it, they build like just a couple layers around the weapon to like living quarters and things like that.
They make it
real
small.
Yeah, they make it really small, but it ends up being shaped because of the laser capacity or whatever. It ends up being like shaped like a lightsaber. So I don't remember the plot that carries the book forward. What I remember is them building this darn thing in an asteroid field. And when you get to the end of the book, they have this new weapon of destruction ready to go. They start moving it out of the asteroid field, and as soon as they move it forward, it gets smashed.
Smashed.
It gets absolutely obliterated. And I'm sure the main story of the book was great. I want to say it probably had something to do with Mara Jade, but I could be...
I'm sure they had her in a lot of stuff.
Wasn't expecting the main crux of that to be destroyed. I think it was really interesting because I don't remember what the main plot of the story is outside of Darksaber existing, They fire it up, it gets smashed, it's really nuts.
Wasn't that when the Hutts built that?
Yeah, the Hutts stole it.
And the concept was that everything they try to build is always junky and just doesn't work.
Well, it wasn't even so much that, it was that they were trying to be more economical. Like the Hutts were like, the downfall of the Empire was that they were trying to be grandiose and they were trying to show off. And the Hutts were like, what if we just built a little one? Zip it around, we can do whatever we want, show up, blow up a planet, get out.
Leave, yeah.
Yeah, but because they, you know, didn't put a lot of thought into it, it ultimately was doomed to failure.
I think that's the whole concept of what that series was, kind of that.
Oh, yeah.
They kind of went the opposite. Instead of being grandiose like the Empire, they went too cheap and it didn't work.
Oh, sure. You know, I've been thinking about it, and you asked if Shadows of the Empire is my favorite expanded universe.
Yeah.
I honestly have a great affinity for Shadows of the Empire. It's probably the expanded universe book I've read the most, but I would have to say my brain just kind of kicked in. I would say the Jedi Academy trilogy Kevin J. Anderson is probably... Like, I really wanted to read Star Wars when I was in the Marine Corps. I was, you know, and this is, DVD exists, sure, but, you know, I don't have the ability to lug things around, but I wanted to get some kind of Star Wars. I read that Black Fleet Crisis. I said I read it. I read, like, a little bit of it, and I was like, no.
We're done.
This isn't going to work. But I did pick up the book one of the Jedi Academy trilogy. And that was my first exposure to Mara Jade. Luke Skywalker had set up a base on Yavin 4, where the original movie had its giant climax.
But because they had the pyramids there on Yavin 4, yep.
Yeah, and so he basically used that old Rebel base to be the new source of the new Jedi Academy.
Yeah, train all the new Jedis.
And that was where a lot of video games take the Yavin base for Jedi training, things like that. It's really cool. Jedi Knight, what was it? Jedi Knight, Jedi Academy, actually, takes place on Yavin 4. But those books, something about the way Kevin J. Anderson wrote it, is as much of a chore as it was to read the Black Fleet Crisis, it was very natural to read
Jedi Academy?
To read the Jedi Academy trilogy, excuse me. My brain completely just escaped me for a second. But there are three books, and you follow, I can't even remember who all of the characters were, but there was something in there that it just spoke to me, and I absolutely adored it. And now I'm actually beginning to question whether or not Mara Jade's in it, and is that from Darksaber?
I think she was in several of the books.
She was in several of them. I read one of them where, like, Luke was in love with a computer lady whose, like, soul was stuck in a computer, and I almost want to say maybe that was in the Jedi Academy trilogy, and he met Mara Jade after. I don't remember.
Well, he met Mara Jade in the Zahn series.
In the Zahn series?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, who knows? I don't know, you guys. I'm sorry.
What's out of the expanded universe then, whether now or in the past, what are some of your favorite characters?
Easy answer. Quinlan Vos is my favorite expanded universe character. He was a Jedi during the Clone Wars, and he was most of his adventures. And I know he was introduced in Clone Wars
in the cartoon.
Okay. And I don't really like how they portray him in that. He was in a novel recently where he and Ventress kind of have a Romeo and Juliet thing. And it was okay. But the way that Quinlan Vos is in canon is fine, but I love the way he was in the expanded universe. So Quinlan Vos, most of his stuff was written by John Ostrander, and most of his art was done by Jan Dersima, who also went on to do Star Wars Legacy, which I do want to touch on.
Was he introduced in the comic book?
He was introduced in the comics first.
Okay.
And Jan Dersima was asked to design this Jedi character, and she's got such an eagle eye. She's one of my very favorite artists. In episode one on Tatooine, there is a pan of a ton of people in a marketplace. And there's this one guy who's sitting in the chair, kind of kicked back. And he's got kind of olive-colored skin. He's got dreadlocks. He's got a yellow stripe across his eyes. And he's just really cool. If you're not looking for him, you're going to miss him.
Okay.
Jan Dersima noticed him immediately. And she was like, that's the design I want to use for this character.
Oh,
and
interesting.
So it's so good. The whole idea when you're introduced to Quinlan Vos in the comics is he wakes up and has no memory of what's been going on. He doesn't know who he is, where he is, what's happening, but he can use the Force. And he meets a bounty hunter. I can't think of his name, but he's one of those red guys that looks like a devil. He's got the little horns.
Oh, is that the same species as Darth Maul?
No.
Okay.
No. Because Darth Maul's got like a crown of horns.
Okay.
And he's got face tattoos. This guy literally just is like red and has two little horns. And
okay.
I want to say his name's Willy or something like that. Billy.
Okay.
Billy.
He was in the cantina in Mos Eisley, right?
Maybe. Somebody like him was.
Okay. Yes.
But anyway, he's talking to Quinlan Vos and is, you know, grifting him and trying to get everything he possibly can. But at one point, they're being attacked, and Quinlan Vos reaches out and starts choking somebody. And Billy is like, hey, Jedi don't do that. And he's like, well, I don't remember being a Jedi. I don't remember having been told that this isn't what I'm supposed to do. And he's this very interesting character. Instead of somebody that is fighting with the temptation of the dark side, he ends up being somebody who embraces the dark side while staying on the light. He eventually gets his memories back, and he also starts questioning, like, why can't I use Force lightning? Like, what is the concept of the dark side versus whatever it is we are? Because I don't think for a long time, I don't know that they necessarily called it the light side officially. It was always like the Force and the dark side of the Force.
Okay.
But it's just implied that if there's a dark side, then there's a light side. But and I think now it's been pretty steadfast that, you know, Kylo Ren was being pulled to the light and all that other junk. But so I don't want to discount that at all.
Yeah,
I do think it's interesting though with Quinlan Vos's whole thing being, you know, if they're using this, why can't we meet their Force with our own Force?
I see.
And you find out that his former apprentice is Ayala Secura, who is the blue Twi'lek.
Oh,
Her death was cut out of episode 3, but she was, you know, she's a character.
Yeah, that's right. At the very beginning. I think they have it in deleted scene on one of the DVDs or Blu-rays.
Yeah. But she's also one of those characters that just sticks out in people's brains mostly because of Jan Dersima's art. Again, we're going to get to Legacy in just a hot second.
Okay.
But Quinlan Vos is just one of the... I've never been a fan of Jedi in general. Like, I don't care. I don't care about the Force. I don't care about lightsabers. I don't care about the idea that good is absolute and evil is absolute. That doesn't interest me. I'm not into it. I prefer Han Solo. I prefer somebody who's like, he's really trying to do good, but also Han shot first. You know, and that's what I find appealing, especially from fiction, as an adult who enjoys nuanced characters like Optimus Prime. That was a joke too, because Optimus Prime is far from nuanced. Let's talk about Transform. No, but I really enjoyed that we got to take a look at what does it mean to be a Jedi and what does it mean to be good or evil, and because you're dark side, does that mean you're evil? And because you're light side, does that mean you're good? And it's just questions that you will never have be the central focus of something like a feature.
Well, they kind of briefly brushed up against it in episode 2 and 3 when Anakin was asking.
Oh, for sure.
But for that sure. Sounds like the character you're talking about, they really deep dived into it.
Well, what is, if you're a Jedi and you're told this is not how a Jedi acts, we know for a fact this is not how a Jedi acts, then you wake up, you have no memory, and you have the power, and then you act that way. Mm-hmm. Are you being evil? Are you working against the code? Are you breaking the oath that you have no memory of? And what's the ramification of that versus something like Anakin going to the dark side, where now he's like, oh, I'm dark, I guess I'm going to go kill kids.
Yeah.
you know, it's far more nuanced, and I think it's a little bit more fun.
Sure. So did they, I don't know anything about that character, did they flesh it out in the end or what? So he appeared in comic books.
He was a victim of the Disney purge.
Okay.
But he had the luxury of appearing in an episode of Clone Wars. When Quinlan Vos was in Clone Wars, they jettisoned all of, well, I mean, some of it could have happened. It's generally assumed that none of what I talked about just now happened. And he's more, man, I hate to say it, he's more of just like a surfer dude.
Okay.
Which kind of neutered his whole thing. In the novel, is it called Dark Apprentice? I'll need to look it up. There's a novel where he and Asajj Ventress, who is a villain in the Clone Wars and was Dooku's apprentice.
Yes.
Post Clone Wars, and this was a novel that was cobbled together from story ideas for possible Clone Wars episodes. So this book is canon. They kind of go undercover as a couple. He has to flirt with the dark side. She kind of flirts with the light side. They flirt with each other. Jedi aren't allowed to have attachments. It's really, really good. It's really, really fun.
I wonder what type of ways they were trying to explore that character, for example, or before Disney and then after Disney.
Yeah. Yeah, it's interesting because if you read the Clone Wars comics, which were produced around the same time as, well, actually, they started around the time Genndy Tartakovsky's 2D Clone Wars cartoon.
Yeah, the micro series. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, and then it went through, I want to say, a couple of seasons of the Cartoon Network series, and it was before the 3D animated Clone Wars was considered canon. So we had the cartoon version of Clone Wars, and then we had the comics version of Clone Wars, and then there was even some Clone War video games, but that was more just loose setup for, you know, tank battles and stuff.
Of course.
But
so you had this Jedi. Mm-hmm. I guess he ended up being a Jedi.
Well, the only thing that's counted for Quinlan Vos from the expanded universe and into the new canon is he is confirmed to have survived Order 66.
Okay.
So we don't know where he is. We don't know what's happened to him. We don't know if he was killed shortly after. We don't know if he was in seclusion like Yoda or Obi-Wan or what. He just kind of, we know he didn't die, which is kind of cool.
That's always a fun take. I think they can use that premise of who survived, who didn't, and really deep dive into some different stories that mm-hmm. they want to. So,
oh yeah, the thread is there, and I'm not the only person who loves Quinlan Vos.
And yeah, and on his character, or other characters too, instead of some of these series that they do where they flesh out more details on, say, Obi-Wan or Anakin, there's not a lot of I guess, at stake, because we know, especially if it takes place before episode 3, there's not as much at stake because you obviously know they're going to live.
One of the interesting things going off of what you just said, one of the earlier comics Marvel produced in the current canon, I don't remember the writer, but the art was by Marco Cecchetto, and they did an Obi-Wan and Anakin miniseries where Anakin was probably, let's say 13 or 14.
Okay.
And the plot really didn't matter. They had gone to a new planet, and it was kind of the plot of, like, Princess of Mars.
Okay.
Where you've got, you know, the air people and the ground people and whatever. That's not really the point. So they're helping out these aliens, but the whole time Anakin is struggling with, again, what does it mean to be a Jedi? And do I really agree with this code? And is this what I want to do with my life? And Obi-Wan at no time was like, no, you have to stay here. Obi-Wan was like, look, I promised Qui-Gon that I would look after you and that I would raise you. And if you feel like this is where you need to go, then let's see it all the way through. And it was really cool to see Anakin realize what he believes his place in the Jedi Order is.
He's trying to flesh that out at age 13.
Yeah, it's really cool.
Okay. What other expanded stuff?
Expanded universe. I loved, as far as new canon, I loved Poe's comic series.
Okay.
And that a lot of that takes place from right before The Force Awakens through right up to the doorstep of The Last Jedi.
Okay.
Actually, no, it goes beyond The Last Jedi, and you find out what Poe's squad was doing during The Last Jedi, because they're not in the movie at all.
Oh, yeah, you're right.
Okay. But yeah, because of that series and how they handle Poe and how Poe learns how to take orders and how to be less of a hotshot.
Okay.
Then going into The Last Jedi, where all of that goes out the window, I was real disappointed in my boy. Poe is easily my favorite character from the new.
Oh, okay.
From the new trilogy.
Kinda like the Dash Rendar. You kind of like the trend.
That's exactly like the kind of thing I want. What I would love in a Star Wars book would be a Han Solo type who can't use the Force, who wields a lightsaber. I think that would be really cool.
Oh, okay. Because
you don't need the Force to use a lightsaber.
No.
Grievous did it.
And well, in fact, way back in the day, there's some fan films that were done. Maybe you've seen them. They had a battle between Vader and Boba Fett. Mm. And Boba Fett grabs a lightsaber and tries to use it against Vader.
Sure. And I would have loved it if one of the gang members, if Woody Harrelson's character in Solo like whipped out a lightsaber. You don't need the Force.
No.
The Force would be super duper helpful.
Well, yeah, it makes you faster.
You would have, but you would be super mindful of where that blade is though.
Yeah.
I just think, you know, in my brain, I would like to see that just because it's not a trope that I've seen before. But no, I absolutely loved Poe's characterization in the comics. I think Marvel has done like a solid 7 to 8 out of 10 across the board with their comics. Even when their comics aren't great, they're still real, real good. One of my favorite comics, though, as far as Star Wars goes, goes back to Legends, and that's going to be Star Wars Legacy. And the idea of Star Wars Legacy is that it's set a couple thousand years in the future.
Oh, okay.
And so it goes back to what you were saying, where when you're dealing with Luke Skywalker or Obi-Wan Kenobi or even Qui-Gon Jinn or whatever, we kind of know where those stories are going. Even the Old Republic, to some extent, we know that the Old Republic turns into the Republic, turns into the Empire, turns into the New Republic. So there's even a through line there. Star Wars Legacy does the opposite of something like what the Old Republic does, and it goes a couple thousand years in the future, and we follow Cade Skywalker.
Okay.
And Cade Skywalker is a Han Solo type. But he also, since he's a descendant of the Skywalkers, he has the ability to use the Force. The name Skywalker no longer carries the weight that it used to. He's being chased by Darth Talon, who was designed by Jander Sima, and she's one of those Sith Lords that just sticks in people's brains. She's the Darth Maul looking Twi'lek with the red and the black. She's usually wearing a bikini. and she's just amazing. Okay. She's just like the epitome of everything you could ever want in a Star Wars villainess. Star Wars Legacy, and this is what I would tell people before The Force Awakens came out. Star Wars Legacy was Star Wars. Like, it didn't... You find yourself chasing Star Wars when you're trying to write fiction or you're trying to read fiction or consume media. If you play Luke Skywalker in a video game, you want to feel like Luke Skywalker.
Yeah.
If you're flying the Millennium Falcon, you want to own up to Han Solo. You want to be those cool guys. And so when you read about Poe Dameron, when you read about Chewbacca, when you read about these characters, you know there's a stigma attached to it, and it has to meet equality because you know who these people are. You don't know any of that with Star Wars Legacy. You want Cade Skywalker to succeed because he's a Skywalker.
Sure.
And because we love Luke and we love Leia and we love Han and we love their legacy, which is where the book gets its subtitle.
That's an interesting take. In the past, in a lot of this expanded universe stuff, they went backwards or they, kind of stayed in current. But so Legacy, you're jumping way ahead.
Legacy jumped way ahead, and it was, I wasn't there for the beginning of it. But I do know, again, much like Quinlan Vos, which, again, John Ostrander, Jander Sima, the people who made my favorite Jedi, also did my favorite Star Wars comic, which is Star Wars Legacy.
Now, Legacy was done by Marvel?
Star Wars? No, Legacy was done by Dark Horse.
Oh, okay.
And right before Dark Horse lost the license, they were working on a sequel to Star Wars Legacy, and I think it only got about maybe 12 issues out, and that was done by Gabriel Hardman and Corina Bescio, I think.
That's awesome. You know all these off the top of your head.
No, I know those guys because I believe they're a married couple.
Oh.
And they've done, like, The Invisible Republic. They did Green Lantern Earth 1. They've done some Planet of the Apes. They're very, very good at telling high-concept sci-fi. But their take on Legacy followed a descendant of Han Solo versus a descendant of Luke Skywalker. And I haven't gotten around to reading that yet. It will happen. But that is something I just think it's interesting.
That's interesting that they went. I remember seeing it, but I never picked it up. So
sure.
I guess I might have to go see if it's in trade or something like that.
I don't know if it is anymore.
Why not since they lost that?
Well, I know Star Wars Legacy, Marvel has reprinted that.
Okay.
But as far as the follow-up to Legacy, which I cannot remember, that it might have just been Star Wars Legacy 2. But as a retailer, I couldn't tell you for sure whether or not that exists. I'll have to look that up.
We'll check that out. That's an interesting concept.
No, it's really fun.
I like that because it went in the future. You can start out with everything totally different if you wanted to.
No, for sure. And there's nothing that says you have... like. There's nowhere at any point does it say Cade Skywalker is going to live.
Okay.
Like, you have no idea. When you started off, like, maybe he's not the main character. He is. Like, I'm not. But you have that freedom where, if you killed Cade Skywalker off in issue 3.
So what?
Where do we go now?
Yeah.
The very first comic Marvel published under the new canon was called Shattered Empire.
Okay.
And you end up following this pilot it was a 4-issue series, but at the end of issue 3, you find out that this pilot is Poe Dameron's mom.
Oh.
And so it takes place, the first issue takes place during the Battle of Endor from Return of the Jedi.
Oh, okay.
And she goes back down onto Endor where Poe is a baby. And it's really, really interesting.
See, I love that stuff where they just take something so obscure, like for example, the tales of the bounty hunters, where they just took all the bounty hunters from Empire Strikes Back and told a story about every single one of them.
That's how we knew what Dengar's name was.
Yeah. Dengar was only on the screen for what, 3 seconds?
Oh, yeah.
And they have a whole story about it. So, but I know there's one you want to talk about. Expanded universe, I guess it's expanded universe, is the TV show Star Wars Rebels.
Yeah, so here's the thing. When I think of expanded universe, I think of ancillary, And for me personally, Star Wars Rebels is so integral to my love of modern Star Wars. It is absolutely expanded universe, but I take umbrage with that.
I guess, is it considered by Disney as canon?
Yeah. Oh no, it's That's definitely canon. Okay. Yeah. It's absolutely canon. Star Wars Rebels takes place concurrently with Rogue One.
Okay. Okay.
So
before New Hope.
Before
New Hope.
I want to say in season 4, like season 4 ends right before Rogue One happens.
Okay.
And there's a bit of a time jump here and there. Like Leia shows up early in season 1, and I think she's like 16.
Okay.
So we're about 2-3 years out from A New Hope.
And this is on Disney XD?
Was on Disney XD. Now it's on Blu-ray.
Okay.
And it'll be streaming on Disney Plus coming this November.
Okay.
Gotta be that shit. Star Wars Rebels. So I was a fan of Clone Wars. I like Clone Wars quite a bit. I like to tell people Clone Wars is a fun sci-fi show. Rebels is Star Wars. I mean, I was really, really nervous about Rebels. I tried watching it when it first aired, and I just couldn't get into it. I don't know who these people were. I didn't know why I gave a crap, and I just decided to wait till the first season was out on Blu-ray, and then I was just going to buy it, for better or for worse, sit through it and see what happened. So I fell in love. I absolutely love these people. It's a macrocosm of my love for like Ahsoka from the Clone Wars. When Ahsoka was introduced in the Clone Wars movie, which was released theatrically, myself and basically every Star Wars fan my age hated Ahsoka. And like, why had we never heard of this apprentice before? Like, nobody ever told us Anakin was somebody's master. This is ridiculous. And how dare she? And then by the end of Clone Wars, you're like, by the end of Clone Wars, you were like, Ahsoka is precious, and if anybody messes with her, I will destroy
Don't talk
them.
Bad about
yeah,
her.
Yeah, do not talk bad about Ahsoka. And that's, I dealt with that a little bit, like I said, in a microcosm as far as Rebels goes. I was like, I don't know who these people are. I don't care. And it was not 3 episodes. And I was like, I need all of these people as my friends and I love them to pieces. And you get to see the main character is Ezra. You get to see him learn about the Force and be tempted by the dark side throughout the course of the show. He's Darth Maul attempts to be his mentor. The reason Ezra's a big reason why Maul decides to go to Tatooine and seek out Obi-Wan, which we talked about on our last episode a little bit.
Yeah.
Ezra is such a cool and complex character, but when he's introduced, he's just a snively little kid.
Yep.
And you don't like him at all. Kanan, who they actually have done a 12-issue comic series about, I really like Kanan. His master was killed in front of him during Order 66. And so he was born on the run and hiding. I really wanted that new Star Wars game that's coming out, the Fallen Order. I really wanted that to be about Kanan, and I was really disappointed that it's not. But because his story would have fit perfectly with what they were trying to tell. I really, really enjoyed Kanan, and his the love of his life is Hera. And again, Jedi aren't supposed to have these connections.
Yeah.
But it arguably makes Kanan a better person to have Hera in his life, so much so that one of the very first novels that was published under the new canon through Disney was about how Kanan and Hera first met.
Oh, okay.
And it was really, really fun. You've got Zeb. Zeb is based, he's like this purple beast of a thing. He's based off of the original designs for Chewbacca.
Really?
Which is really cool. A lot of what you see in Rebels visually does not match with Star Wars. As far as the movies go, it doesn't match with Clone Wars. It's all based on like Ralph McQuarrie designs.
Oh yeah, yeah.
And it's really, really cool. You can actually see like pencil lines in the background for like where doors are. That's actually you can make out in the CG world, like the doors are like
really?
Penciled in.
You can see the pencil lines.
It's really cool.
That's interesting. But they got 4 seasons of Rebels.
They got 4 seasons. Absolutely. 4 seasons. There was a 12-issue comic for Kanan. Ezra and company have popped up in some Disney shorts online. They've been in some Star Wars adventure comics. And also, bringing it back around to one of the origins or progenitors, I guess, of the expanded universe, Timothy Zahn came in and brought Thrawn into the fold with Rebels. He didn't actually write any of the episodes, but he's been very key in designing who Thrawn is for the new canon. And he also has a trilogy of Thrawn books that kind of, they don't retell his original trilogy, but they recontextualize everything that made Thrawn great in the original novels, and recontextualizes it for the new canon. So there was Thrawn that came out, and then Thrawn Alliances, and in Thrawn Alliances, you get to find out that Thrawn knew Anakin.
Oh.
He met Anakin, and then he also knows Vader. He doesn't necessarily know that they're the same person.
Oh, okay.
But he knows both of them.
So he met Anakin, and then obviously later
and he then met Vader later he because, met Vader.
Because he was working for the Empire.
Mm-hmm. So that's really fun. He has a third book coming out. I want to say it's called Treason, Thrawn Treason. And the interesting thing about this to me is that it takes place during the last few episodes of Rebels. So, Timothy Zahn has fully embraced the idea of Thrawn as a villain. And based on where Rebels left us with Thrawn, the Rebels fans are all kind of hoping that the epilogue of this book might tease the fate that befell Thrawn and Ezra and Ahsoka, because it's kind of up in the air. Sure. I don't want to spoil it. I want everybody to go watch it, but there's hope, whether founded or unfounded, that there might be something in this novel that teases towards the fate of these characters that wasn't necessarily well defined in the end of Rebels.
Well, I guess, are they redoing Thrawn? Because the original Zahn books took place after Return of the Jedi,
mm-hmm.
and you're saying the Rebels takes place before New Hope.
Yes.
So are they kind of retconning his...
They're completely retconning
okay.
it. So in Thrawn, and they actually did a comic adaptation of the first novel, which the comic was written by Jodi Hauser based off of the script by Timothy Zahn, and I love Jodi Hauser. She's great. But in this, you actually see Thrawn, he's taken to the Empire, shown to they take him to the Emperor. The Emperor's like, oh, I guess he's in the Empire now. And you see him rise in the ranks incredibly quickly.
Yes.
And it's really interesting to see, especially with Thrawn being for people who don't know, he is an alien race called the Chiss. He has blue skin and red eyes.
Yep.
The Empire is notoriously xenophobic.
Yep.
So most 99.9% of your Imperial officers
yeah.
are going to be white men.
Yeah, going to be human.
Well, human white males.
Yeah, yeah.
And so you also we have Thrawn, who is a blue skinned man, and then we also have. Oh, what is her name?
Yeah, there's a female officer that was...
There's a dark-skinned female officer who was introduced in the expanded universe, and she also has some interactions with him. It's kind of interesting to see how the Empire is... Even these horrible fascist racists are able to look past skin color and gender and be like, you know what... This isn't what we're about, but also a good leader is a good leader. And it's kind of strange that the Galactic Empire is able to make those,
yeah.
those well, decisions.
However, they do emphasize that it's extremely rare.
It is very, very rare, but it's awesome. And yeah. I'm really, really
close that was to it. The thing about Thrawn. Yeah. The fact that he was so smart and so cunning that he was able to rise in the ranks. And even after the Empire fell, that's who they came to was him.
Oh yeah, it's absolutely cool. And the voice actor for Thrawn in Rebels is Mads Mikkelsen's brother, whose name escapes me, but he's got a very soothing yet menacing voice. It's really, really cool, and I really, really enjoy it. It's perfect for the character.
It is.
I didn't know what to think of it at first, and then as soon as he started talking, I was like, Oh, I get it.
So now when you read the comic or read the books and Thrawn's doing dialogue, you instantly,
you can't help it. Part of me really wants to see a scene between Kaelin Erso and Thrawn. It'll never happen, but just to get both of the Mikkelsons in there, you never know.
Sometimes those guys have some pull. They can.
Oh yeah. Yeah, well, I mean, I guess it could happen because Kaelin Erso died in Rogue One. So I don't know. I'm sure there's a scene somewhere where Thrawn and Kaelin are hanging out. You guys, I'm just a super nerd.
Well, that's what's fun about this expanded universe. I think Disney, Marvel, whoever, Dark Horse is smart in just exploring all this. Even though you have some naysayers that are saying, well, they're just doing it for money. It's like, well, yeah, who cares?
Yeah, I mean, absolutely. At the end of the day, we're all doing it for money. Yeah. When I was in film school, I talked to a bunch of... I was in film school with people who were 10 years younger than me. So I was 28 going to film school with people who were 18 years old. And I listened to some people talking, and they were talking about how they would never, ever, ever sell out and all this other junk. And they looked at me like, Tim, what do you think? Would you ever sell out? And I was like, in a heartbeat. Absolutely. And I know that's a controversial statement. And I'm not saying that I'm, you know, there's nothing that's not pure or creatively distinct that I would love to pursue. But man, if somebody wants to give me money for my art, man, I'm going to take it. That's just where I'm at. So yeah, I can't fault Disney for wanting to make money as a company. What I think is interesting is we'll get something like Solo. And Solo, by all rights, and I'm pretty sure I've said this on the last episode, Solo should not exist. Solo was made for me. So I'll have people come into the store and they're like, oh man, didn't you hate Solo? No, I loved it.
Yeah.
I absolutely loved it. But I don't fault people who didn't like it because it doesn't fit what people think Star Wars ought to be. But we live in a world where that movie was released theatrically. Something like The Mandalorian is exciting, but that feels like something that ought to be on a streaming service.
Okay.
Solo, to me, should never have been a theatrically released movie. Never, ever, ever. And it was. Will we see another thing like that in the theater? It's less likely right now. Yeah. Like it could happen in 10 years.
Sure.
But man, I relished it when I was in the theater just watching it. I was like, man, what if, oh my gosh, it just happened.
And well, just think about it. When you walked out of the theater, or maybe, I don't know what your age was on it, when you watched Return of the Jedi, would you have ever thought that I'm going to see a Solo movie in a theater in 25 years later?
You don't ever, every time, what one thing that doesn't track with, I'm gonna put on my old man hat
here. Yes, that's okay.
So one
get
of
off
things,
my lawn.
Yeah, exactly. Get off my lawn. One of the things that doesn't track with a lot of the youth now is that when we got a movie, we just assumed that was it. So when you see, you know, Terminator existed and that's Terminator, and then suddenly Terminator 2, and you're like, what is this? And, you know, so Star Wars, I wasn't around in 1977, but there was nothing about Star Wars that made people think there was ever going to be anything more to it. It wasn't, and you know, to the nerds, I'm sure the nerds at the time kind of had their fingers on the pulse. But, you know, Johnny and Jane Smith, who were just going to go see a movie, they had no reason to assume there would ever be anything else. And then we get an Empire Strikes Back, and the Empire Strikes Back deigns to tell us there will be more because we're ending on a downer, and there has to be more. Jedi comes out, and we put a nice little bow on top of it. There was nobody... When George Lucas decided to say that these movies are episodes 4, 5, and 6, everybody was like, wouldn't it be cool if they made a 1, 2, and 3? And it was just kind of collectively understood that that wasn't going to happen.
Yeah.
We were like, oh, it'd be great. We understand that there's stories that we'll never understand or we'll never hear. We make it teases of what possibly came before, but 4, 5, and 6 is super fun. And it was actually generally accepted for a while that 7, 8, and 9 were basically the Thrawn trilogy.
Yeah.
A lot of people just assumed that that's what was next.
That's how ingrained those Thrawn books were, or Zahn books, whatever you want to call them.
It's... Hey, writers, don't name your main character after yourself, and don't make it sound like your name, because it's kind of hack.
But that's how the appetite for all the nerds, Star Wars nerds, was, is that, well, we're not going to get it on the movie screen, so Let's do it in comic book form. Let's do it as books, video games.
And I don't want to discount those people who were disappointed in Disney's purge by jettisoning that continuity, because there are people who that was Star Wars to them. And, you know, Disney as a company couldn't be like, well, in order to understand what's happening in this movie, you'll have to have read 50 books and all these comics. And, you know, you should probably get the story from these video games. It's so much smarter as a company to be like, well, that stuff's going off to the side. And now really you just need to see the movies. You can read the books for more information. You can watch the cartoons for more information. You don't have to, but you do. Just the movies count. But there are some people who, when that happened, it was like Disney saying, your Star Wars doesn't matter. And your what the thing you love holds no value. Mm-hmm. And that's where a lot of the hurt, a lot of the anger, a lot of the vitriol from the fan base came, because they spent their money on Star Wars. This was Star Wars. And who's Disney to tell us what is or isn't Star Wars? So I definitely understand it. I don't want people to think that I'm just sitting here like, oh, no, it was a super good idea and everything's great and I love everything. Like, I completely get it. But I also think we are dealing with serialized media. And that's something I run a comic book store. I understand the concept of serialized media. And it's something that, even if you get it on an intellectual level, it's hard to understand that a story is consistently morphing and changing. And they're saying we're getting rid of it. It sounds harsh, but they also have been slowly massaging things back in and concepts back in. Like, yeah. Thrawn, yeah, like was Thrawn. Completely gone.
Yeah. What, 5 years ago, 10 years ago, whatever it was?
Yeah, not even 10. Like, yeah. It was, you know, 4 or 5 years ago.
That's true.
They brought him back in. Disney's very much aware of the things that made you fall in love with Star Wars. And they don't want to take that away. They're just saying, we're putting it on hold for right now. You're going to get it. It might be in a slightly different form that's adapted to make it more accessible. And there's arguments to be made that maybe it didn't need to be made more accessible, what have you. And those are valid. Your opinion is valid. Your thoughts matter. But ultimately, the decision was made for better or for worse. And now we have a much more streamlined, much tighter Star Wars universe, to the point where I'm consistently excited every couple of months when a new book comes out. They just released a novel called Alphabet Squadron. Which is in the same vein as like the old X-Wing books.
Yeah.
But it's a squad of resistance fighters, I believe. And it's like an A-Wing, a B-Wing, an X-Wing, a Y-Wing.
Oh, that's Alphabet really Squadron. Alphabet.
Okay. And it actually ties in with a new comic that we have on the shelves called TIE Fighter. And TIE Fighter is from the point of view of the Empire. And this TIE Fighter squadron is going to be going up against Alphabet Squadron. And it's a really unique way to balance expanded universe novels with expanded universe comics. Because if you read Alphabet Squadron, you'll get a whole thing. But if you read TIE Fighter, you get a whole new thing.
Yeah.
If you read them both together, you're going to get this really cool depth. And you may never see these people in a cartoon. You may never see them in a movie. But that doesn't, you know, they're not a Luke Skywalker. They're not a Rey. They're not Kylo Ren.
Sure.
They're not Darth Vader. They're not like these universe-bending wills of destruction or what have you. They're just people, and they're just trying to live their lives. And they're just, even the guys on the Empire, like, ideological or not, it's their job to go do this. And, you know, speaking as a veteran and somebody, you know, you don't get to make policy decisions.
No.
When you're the guy who flies the jet, you just kind of have to go where you're pointed. And to see that from both angles is really, really fun. And it very much Alphabet Squadron, Alexander Freed wrote it. He also wrote he wrote Twilight Company,
okay.
Which was about rebel soldiers, which was super duper fun. But he very much is tapping into what made those expanded universe X-Wing books so great, and bringing that energy and that sense of wonder and that sense of, I'd like to be a fighter pilot in Star Wars. So it's great. Sure. That what we're seeing the expanded universe do now in canon is what we were seeing the expanded universe attempt to do 25 years ago when there was no specific canon. We just had the three movies to go off.
And it was just kind of all over the place.
It was all over the place.
Well, the thing is, too, people have to remember that these writers and editors that are doing this new stuff now grew up on the old X-Wing books or Dark Empire books when they were 9 years old.
Well, and when we first spoke on the Transformers podcast, I said one of the things that I loved about the Transformers comics is there are people my age who love these characters who understand what story is, and they want to tell a convey like an emotionally prescient story using characters that have defined what we know as heroism or what we know as evil. You know, Luke Skywalker is a pure hero, Darth Vader is a pure villain, but what if they weren't? And that's, you know, that's it's so much fun to me to be able to say, you know, it's pliable. Especially with the Legends books, Luke Skywalker goes to the dark side.
Yes.
And has to be redeemed. And the fact that Luke, who is in the movies, starts off as a whiny little brat and then ends as a slightly more competent brat, he's not ever going to fall to the dark side, except what if he did?
He did.
And it's just fun.
It is.
I love fiction. I love Star Wars. This stuff makes me so
Star Wars, you have to use the F word. Fun.
Oh, yeah. That's that three-letter word.
Exactly. Well, I think we'll close it up here, Tim, but it's always fun to sit down and talk nerdy stuff with you.
Oh, so absolutely.
Let's plug how a listener can get a hold of you. And
oh, sure thing. Well, I'm here at Rainbow.
Pass it on to Hayden to have him come in and get his statue.
Hayden, buddy. Come on. Hey, Lee, I don't want to be pigeonholed as just the Star Wars guy. So if there's something any of your listeners would like me to talk about in the future,
oh yeah,
let me know. Star Wars, my passion for Star Wars is very much like Rebels and the prequels and things like that. And I have a wellspring of knowledge as far as comic books, cartoons, things like that. If there's something people would like to hear me talk about,
sure,
let me know. And if not, you know, maybe I'm being presumptuous, but I would love to talk about things that people want to hear me talk about.
Definitely. Well, yeah, you mentioned Hellboy. You know, that's something.
Hellboy is so in my wheelhouse.
We might have to take a look at that. I know a little bit about it, but hey, I love to learn this stuff. But yeah, how can people get a hold of you, harass you, whatever?
Oh, sure. I'll harass you. Yep. Definitely try to harass me. That'd be great. But I run Rainbow Comics here in Lincoln, Nebraska. We're located at 1501 Pine Lake Road in Suite 17, so we're right between Juice Stop and the Nail Place. We're kind of across the street from Costco. It's pretty great. You guys can always like us on Facebook. We're Rainbow Comics Lincoln, Lincoln, Nebraska. Let's see. What else do we have? If you want to reach me directly on Twitter, I'm at M-O-T-H-E-E, at Mothi. That's me. I'm always happy to talk about just random things. Shoot me a message. Let me know who you are. Don't be rude.
Exactly.
But yeah, that's going to be me. Come down to the store. Say hi. Come talk to me about Star Wars. Shoot me a message on Facebook at the store. Shoot me a tweet. You know, just say hi.
Yeah, definitely. He's a wealth of information, so you got to come down and talk to him. So, well, I appreciate it, Tim. Thanks for coming on,
and we'll
definitely do it again soon and talk about more nerdy stuff.
Awesome.
I'll have a link in the show notes, and you can have ways to get a hold of Tim and hit him up and harass him.
All right. Thanks so much.
All right. Thanks, Tim. It was a great time sitting down and talking with Tim. I hope you enjoyed it as much as I did. So go to covertnerd.net for all the links in the episode. And until next time, nerd it up.